Let me just maybe make this comment. You did right when you were talking about taking care of the widows. But they ain't all old. I'm just moving on, though. I heard a sister say, "What? Lord Jesus, help me." Well, it's good to be with you again and see you out and about. And boy, these are interesting days, aren't they? And, you know, I have the privilege of knowing a lot of preachers traveling. And I was supposed to be coming from Fort Lauderdale to here from the Bahamas. But we had to change it because of all that craziness that goes on. You find out before you're going to go, you know what they got to do, and the island shuts down and all this stuff. And then week after next, I was supposed to be in Africa, in Ghana. And we set in a couple of years ago there, 176 new pastors. And we're there to, it's a large church. We're there to, we have about eight churches in Ghana now, I think eight or nine. And we're there and we're supposed to set in about 30 bishops over those churches. And I get to go all over the world. And I love being in Picayune. And really, I say that without any kind of reservation. I'm very blunt. Some people have a ministry of comforting the afflicted. Mine is afflicting the comfortable. So, you know, one side of the corner, the other, you know. And but I do love being here. I love the story. I love to see what God is going to do, how y'all going to have Thanksgiving in a few more years. They'll have to rent the Holiday Inn or something. Because, I mean, how in the world, if each one of your boys gets married and has two or three, oh my gosh. That is, and I just can't even imagine. I sent him a picture the other day of a couple that had 14 boys. So he gave up. But then they had a little girl. You should see the picture. 14 bruisers and this little lamb in the midst of them. I'm telling you, they were as happy as they could be. I thought, Lord, there's something wrong with that kind of mentality. Amen. Kind of reminds me of Solomon after having 700 wives. Whoa. Am I doing that? Hello. That's a lot of wives. And I'm moving on too. Hallelujah. Let's get to the Word. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you said, it's enough is enough? You know, we come to places in our time in life and serving the Lord, walking with God, that we come to a point and we say, it's enough. That is enough. I've had it. And you know, those things like that are really God sent. Because we as Christians oftentimes get very comfortable in yesterday's blessing. And because of it, we fail to realize what's going on right now in the nation. And that is this. And I said it earlier this morning. Desperate men and women pray desperate prayers. It's not till you got desperate that you changed the way you pray. I have a radio program. I do four programs a week. I do three Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon that are on prayer. I teach on prayer, and then we have a time that we go into prayer, and it's called my prayer closet. So I invite people to come in my prayer closet. So then I also teach prayer, or I lead prayer every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 7:30. So 7:30 in the morning, 3 days a week, we're leading prayer. Then 3 days a week at noon. And the noon prayer goes all over our city through one of our local radio stations. And it goes from Baltimore to D.C., has a large audience. And so we really believe that we've been able to penetrate the airwaves and affect what's going on. How many of you hear that? And if you know that the heavens are divided up into threes, and in that process you have what you and I look up and see, we call that heaven, and then there's the airwaves heaven, the prince of the power of the air, and then there's the place where Paul went, and that's the third heaven. He said, I went somewhere I can't even define it. I can't even describe it. And so because of that, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whoever you want to call him, the liar, hangs out in the middle place. He hangs out in the prince of the power of the air. If you remember Daniel in chapter 9 and then chapter 1, chapter 2, all of it, you'll find that Daniel, in his time of praying so that God could deliver Israel out of the Babylonian captivity they were in, he started when he was about 19, and in the last chapter, he's 90. And you need to understand there's been a series of time where he's been in some real prayer. And in that prayer, the Bible says the minute he prayed, the angel Michael came through and took him 21 days to bust up the power of that demonic force that was hindering the prayer getting through. Right. 21 days, Michael, anytime you see Michael in the Bible, Michael is an archangel. Michael is the warring angel. He's always the angel that's involved in warfare. There are many assignments of angels in the Bible. There's one angel, all he does is maintain the fire. He has the fire of God. There's another angel that contains his presence. And when that angel comes, he brings, it's called the angel of his presence. He brings the presence of God. And so Daniel prays, and Michael busts through and binds up the prince of the power of Persia, and he gets his prayer to him, and he says to him, I have your answer. The minute you prayed it, I was bringing your answer. How many of you know God has answers for every situation that we're facing today in America and in the nation? But our problem is this. We're not praying. We're not praying like we should. We're not praying the way we ought to. We're not praying the same fervor and the same commitments that we should. When my daughter had cancer, trust me, I prayed. She was 15 years old. They told me she'd die. She lived. She has three boys. They told us she'd never have kids if she did live. God's defied all that because we didn't pray just a good now lay me down to sleep prayer. We prayed like our life depended on it. Are you listening? And I believe in prayer. I'm a product of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. And in this process, one of the things that is happening right now, the coronavirus has driven people to pray. To pray, even the atheists are praying. The agnostics, the unbelievers praying. They'll mumble something. They'll just say, you know, I have a guy call me one day. He's an old guy I fish with. And he doesn't break the law. I don't know what that is. But anyway, he's an old guy. And we love catching big old rockfish up in Maryland, up in the Chesapeake Bay. Striped bass, you call them probably. And we catch 50-inch fish and that kind of thing. And I fished with 17 fishing poles out of one boat. Can you imagine? We're serious about fishing. And but one day I had just started fishing with him, and his wife became deathly ill. And I was in Africa, and I was out of country, and I heard about it. When I came home, I got a hold of him, and she didn't know me. Him and I had just started hooking up. Through a real sovereign event, and we were just starting to fish together, and she was at deathbed, and they had her on machines and everything, and so he called me out of desperation while I was in Africa, and I told him I would do this. He said, would you do that prayer thing? You understand what the prayer thing is? I don't know how to pray. I don't know him well enough to pray, but I know you do. Will you do the thing you do? How do you know it's good to have friends in high places? Hallelujah. So I prayed. And when I got home, he called me up and he was acting weird. He calls me up and he says, hey, tell me what in the world's going on. I said, what are you talking about? What's the matter? He said his wife came out of the coma. When she came out of the coma, she couldn't talk. She'd had all these tubes and things in her throat, and she couldn't speak. So, you know, she was just, you know. So they gave her some kind of little board, a chalkboard or something. And she wrote on it something and gave it to him. She wrote my name. She didn't know me. He never mentioned my name. She wrote my name out on the board. He looked at it, called me up, and was freaking out. How do you know my wife? Hey. No, I said, what are you talking about? And he said, my wife wrote your name down. What? And so afterwards, we found out, while she was in the coma, she heard the Lord say to her, she's a believer, he's not, that God had assigned me to him to pray for him and for her. And that was going to let him know that God was listening to my prayer. Are you listening today? Now, let me take you somewhere for just a few minutes. And I want you to get this today because I believe it's a word for you. I believe it's a word for your church. I've been coming a long time. Alan and I have been friends for 20 years, whatever it is. When was Katrina? Yes.
05.
So since 05. And we got involved because they brought me in, and I was put in a helicopter and put on New Orleans about, what, second, third day or something. And we assessed what the problem was, and we raised and put in $1.2 billion to help what was going on there. And I do a lot of things. I have friends that have ships and things and bring food all over the world, and I'm involved in a lot of things. But the point being is this. It's a great moment when God introduces us to people who have divine destiny that have a relationship to God and to your life. Amen. Amen. We should treat them well. God assigns them to us just like he assigns angels to every one of us. Amen. Amen. I have an angel. He's assigned to me. I call him Earl. You're laughing. I ain't laughing. I call him Earl. I got tired of saying, angel, do this. Angel, come here. And I just call him Earl. I say, hey, Earl, listen. When we get to heaven, you can settle this. You can tell me what your real name is. But right now, I'm going to call you Earl till you talk to me. You know, saints, we've got to change some things. And right now, we're at a place. Let me design it this way. We're at the Red Sea. The nation is at the Red Sea. We're at the Red Sea. We've been brought out of Egypt. We've got ourselves moved away from the whole structure of the world system. So the church, the real remnant church, the real born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost church has come out of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And we've come away, but we're down at the Red Sea. And we're there, and in front of us is an obstacle. It's water. And Moses is there, and he's freaking out. And the same thing is true to the church and to the world, to the nation. The nation is at this pivotal place where they're looking for answers. And I want to remind us of something. Every time you in this church have ever been at a crucial point in your life, you needed a word from God. And every time you wanted to go to the next thing God had, you had to go with a word from God. And what's happened is we've relied on the word that was yesterday to get us into the world of tomorrow. Israel is going into an unknown. It's going into a promised land. It didn't know what's there. And because it's going there, it needed a fresh word. The word to get out of bondage is not the word to get into blessing.
Amen.
And when we get to that point, we become desperate. That's why when Moses cried out, reading your Bible, the Lord says to him, Moses, why are you crying out? What's in your hand? I mean, he had a staff in his hand. That staff had turned into a snake, ate the other snakes. That's a bad staff.
Amen.
I have a staff at my church. I tell them that all the time. Anyway, no. Understand now, you're going through this process. We're down as a nation. We're down to the place. We look to the scientists, they tell us. Wear the mask, don't wear the mask. You know, the new this, the new vaccine's coming out. Well, the Dr. Fauci, whatever his name is, he says that if you get the vaccine, it may not be keep you from giving the disease away. What the heck? We're supposed to trust them. And then you got the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're talking like they know something when they really don't know anything. And then you got the media, you got CNN on one end and Fox on the other end, and it's the blind leading the blind. They haven't got a clue. And it's because our nation is 400 years old as of the 19th of November. And many of you in this room didn't know that. America's 400 years old. Read it. Look it up. Not now. Look it up. Some of you go... Look it up, you'll see. When they landed at Cape Henry, put their hands on the ground, they prophesied and dedicated Cape Henry, Virginia, Virginia Beach. They put their hands on the ground and dedicated that property, that land they were standing on, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We grew up there as kids. We read about that as a very, you know, powerful event that we were taught Virginia history, and that was part of it. And have you know, 400 years ago, they dedicated this land to the Lord, and then the pilgrims came, and then we know all the other stories. And then, you know, our forefathers came and set up the Constitution, we know that story, and la la la, all of those pieces. But every one of those junctions brought us to a desperate place. We needed a word from God. Amen. And America needs a word from God. But more importantly, the church needs a word from God. But we got to a place where we've messed up. We've muddied up the water. I gave some examples this morning. And I just want to kind of try to repeat this, if I can, a little bit. Let me get back to this one statement here. And then I think we'll get right. We're living in some awesome, wild, biblical times. And God is calling His watchmen to restore the walls around the city and city of God and around Zion, the church. God is raising up His trumpets to sound an alarm in His holy mountain. This is clear. It's a time of clear separation for His prophets to be able to be freed to speak. Now, let me just say this. I'm one of those that believes strongly in the fivefold ministry mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's there. You can read it. God gave gifts to men. He gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That's called the fivefold ministry. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God in due season. He'll exalt you. That is the apostle. The apostle can touch all the other fingers because that's the one that brings that covering and brings that direction. You need the apostolic ministry. And then you need the prophet. That's the pointing finger. Amen. And then you need the evangelist. That's the longest one. Reaches out. And that's the pastor's one that's got the ring on it. Not that they're married to the sheep. That'd be weird, but they're in love with the sheep. Amen. And then you got the little one. That's the teacher, goes in the ear. Amen. That's the fivefold ministry. And we need to understand these principles because God's word says you sang a song here today. You sang a song about Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, but you got to get the rest of the song because it's not complete till you do. And it says in the scriptures that God's foundation for the church was built on, I'm a builder by background, built my own churches. I've built churches all over the world. I've built homes all over the world. I've been a builder all my life. I can tell you some things about building, but one of the things I can tell you is this. You need foundation. Foundation in the scripture says the church was built on the apostle and the prophet. Not on a board, but on the apostle and the prophet. Look it up. That's biblical. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. And if we're going to have the church move into the things that's in front of us today, we're going to have to restore the apostolic understanding. But I'm here today to tell you this. We need to restore the prophetic word. Amen. The prophetic word of God. Listen, every time there's abuse, we throw away, what's that story, the bath, the water and the baby or whatever? Okay. I stayed on drugs a long time. You have to understand. So there's been some brain damage. And I just, anyway. So the baby and the bath water is thrown out at the same time. How do you know that we've got to stop doing that because we're down at the Red Sea and we need a change in the church. We've got to get a hold of the next thing. Listen, what I did, I have a home for girls. We have 1,200 plus three just born in the last 2 weeks. We have 1,200 babies born in our home. We feed right now during the coronavirus 43,000 families. Every month we're feeding. I closed my school, Christian school, down because of the coronavirus. They told us we had to shut it down. This is back in March. 3 days later, I got a word loaded down. I went to my girl that's over my school and I said, Julie, she's been with me since she was 2 years old. I said, Julie, let me tell you something. You need to hear this. Let's open the school up to first responders. That's the police, the firemen, that's the medical people, that's the EMTs, that's all those kind of people. So I took my school, shifted it, and opened it up, and it was packed. People were in the state, the government paid me to take their students in.
Come on.
Now you got to understand, these are people that would have never come in my church in 100 years. I got doctors from Johns Hopkins. I got doctors from all over the city. I got police chiefs and fire chiefs and police chiefs and all these kind of detectives and lieutenants and all these people coming in. And all of a sudden the school, it grew so much that from last year's school to my school year this year, I went back to having school in September, my school tripled. Why? Because those people put their kids in a godly environment, saw what happened, and said, that's it. I'm putting my kid in that school. Do you understand? God is orchestrating things differently. We're trying to win. You're trying to get 15,000. There's only 15,000 people live in the city, so you know, go for it, brother. And you're trying to get everybody to come here, right? I'm for it. But let me tell you something. God's doing some things that he'll get the people to come, and they'll come for a whole different reason that you thought. And we need to get a hold of God in this day and find out, what does God want Resurrection Church to do in 2021? We just came off a 52-day fast and prayer. Why? Because Nehemiah built the wall in 52 days. And I said, if Nehemiah could build a 5-mile-wide wall around the house of God, which was the temple, that's what he did. He built, put 12 gates in. He built a wall around us. And if he can build that in 52 days, the church can surely pray and fast for 52 days and watch God build the wall back around the church so the watchman can get up on the wall and begin to pray and begin to make intercession on behalf of my city and the nation of America. And do you know, as soon as I announced it on Sunday, Monday, the radio people came to me and said, what do we got to do to get you to come on radio? I said, well, let's see. And they said, you do this, you do this. I said, no, I won't. I will. Okay. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. They wanted me to preach. I said, nope, not going to preach, but I'll pray. And they kind of looked at you. It was three managers. They just like, what are you talking about? And then I said, look, I have a prayer I do every morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Go on there and check it out. If you want me to do it, come back to me. They came back to me and said, yeah, we want you to do it. So I started doing it. After I started doing it, I got a call. All the big wigs. Well, Pastor, nice to talk to you today. People are really responding. It's really good. All right, tell me the punchline. And they say, yeah, the butt. Here comes the billy goat. And so they said to me, well, you know, we got this, we got... And they said, praying about abortion... And all, so I just sat there, said, you know, we don't want you to be praying against abortion. And so I sat there, I said, okay. And then they said, and you know that other thing, the tongues thing, you know? I said, okay. So I waited a few minutes, and I said, here's how I answered them. I said, first of all, I told you to go listen to the prayer. You told me you liked the prayer. I don't pray to your audience. I have a prayer room, and I'm letting you come in my prayer room. Now, if you don't want to come in my prayer room anymore, I'll close the door, and you can't come in. But if you want to keep coming in my prayer room, you better hear me today. And that's the way it has to be. Thank you. Call me back. Well, they call back a day or so later and say, oh, we love the program. It's going so well. I've been praying on air now for all these months because God is doing things different, but we've got to hear God again. We're at the Red Sea. What do? We go back to prayer till we begin to hear again and we begin to get a thus saith the Lord download. But you see, we don't believe the prophets. We don't believe the prophets. I use the title for the message, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And I talked about that Jeremiah said this thing of the word of the Lord is like fire shut up in his bones. It's like fire. You see, when you get a word from God, it makes you uncomfortable. It won't leave you. It won't just, you know, kind of dry up. It's just there. You wake up in the morning, it's still there. You wake up 2 years later, it's still there. Because that thing is there from God. And His Word never returns void. It accomplishes that which it's sent to accomplish. You got to remember in Genesis when God said, let there be light. That's why there's still planets being created. Because they're never going to come back. It's never going to end. Eternity is growing because God's Word is still creating what He sent it to do.
Amen.
And what God said to you 10 years, 20 years, 5 years ago, that Word has laid there and it's laying there right now in this meeting and it's waiting for you to revisit. It's waiting for you to stop the wells and begin to say, Lord, You spoke to me and I have not seen the fruit of it. I've not obeyed You. That's the case sometimes. I did my own thing. I got weary waiting. And I did my own thing. And look at this. You know the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 38, verse 1 through 13. You can look at it some other time. They put him in a mud pit. And they shut him up. They put him actually in a cistern that was slimy like quicksand up to his neck. Why? Because he would not stop prophesying. They said, let's just kill him. We'll put him in the mud up to his neck so that we can stop him from talking. How do you know, saints, you can kill the prophet, but you can't kill the prophet's message.
Amen.
You can see an end can shut us down. And everybody in between, the politicians can shut us down. But they can't stop the word from coming forth. And God's prophets today need to be encouraged to be restored back to operating in the function that God gave them. We believe in the pastor. We believe in the teacher. We believe in the evangelist. We better come back and restore the prophet because we need to hear of thus saith the Lord. I told the other church this morning just a couple examples of how God allowed me to be used in this way. The president of Nigeria, Obasanjo, he's not the current one right now. He's the one that's just behind that. His son came to my church. He was in my church for a number of years. I didn't know him from Adam's cat. And he was studying to be a doctor, big old tall Nigerian. And I have a whole bunch of doctors and people in my church from Hopkins. So they came to me and said he's getting transferred to do his final studies in Texas. Would you pray for him? Yeah, I reached up and put my hand on his chin, about as high as I could get. And I went to pray for him, and the Lord said, stop. Don't pray for him. Pray for his father. I don't know his dad. And here's what I hear God say. His father's in prison. They don't know where he's at. But the Lord wants to bring him out and will make him the president of the nation. So I tell him that. I said, your dad's in prison. You don't know where he's at. He looks at me. Doesn't do anything. He doesn't, oh, yeah, no. I mean, doesn't do anything. I shake his hand. He leaves. And I go, man, I blew that. Next thing I know, I get a call. I'm in Israel preaching. And my secretary calls me and says, somebody called from the UN. And they said that they're the president of Nigeria. I think it's a prank call. And what'd they say? Well, she said, he said, is Bishop Pierce coming to Nigeria? Yes, he's going there in December. Thank you very much. And she hung, and he hung up. So I just kind of said, that's the strangest thing in the world. So I kind of let it go. Not thinking about this boy, because I don't know this boy's dad. So I go to Nigeria through another set of circumstances. God opened the door. I'm in the outdoor meeting. It's the largest in the world. It's between 3.5-4 million people. It's an outdoor meeting. Goes for 3 straight days. The people go over the curve of the earth. It's like the stage holds 3,000 preachers. The altar call area is the size of 2 football fields. So I fly in there. When I fly in there, I'm in the airplane with British Air. I'm up in the top. We're sitting there. We can't figure out why we're not getting out. We're not going up to the terminal. And three guys get on the plane. One guy in a suit. 2 guys with guns. I watch the 2 guys with guns a lot. And they get on the plane. And they talk to the steward and all. And they talk to these guys for a minute. And they come right down to me. And with my background, I'm going, oh, man. And so they come down and they said to me, let me see your passport. I go to them. They look at it. Yep, yep. These people with you? Yep. This is my son. It's my son-in-law and a Nigerian preacher from Washington, D.C. I had brought with me. And so they look. This your stuff? Yep. Get it. The 2 guard threw their guns over. Got the stuff. Come with us, sir. They took me off the plane. You know, you can hear people snickering, you know, I busted for drugs. And I'm going, oh my God, where are we going? We go down the steps as a limousine comes up. Guy opens the door. We get in the limousine under resistance. And my son-in-law is freaking out. He's backsliding right now. He's losing it. He's about 6'5", and he is just melting right now. And you know, I'm looking for Pampers for him. I mean, he's a mess. And we go across the airport. And there's another airplane, a 737 sitting there. The ladder's down. We get out. I said, why are we here? What's the plane for? And he said, it's for you. I said, I'm not going on that plane. Boy, the 2 guys with guns bristled and came right up close to me. I think, maybe I am. So we turn and a girl comes to the steps and she yells, Bishop Pierce, oh, my dad's thrilled. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. What? We're flying to Abuja from Lagos because my dad wants to have dinner with you at the palace. Who's your dad? Obasanjo. Obasanjo, who is your dad? I go up the steps reluctantly. She said, you prayed for my big brother. He came home. He told my mom what you said. She found my dad. She brought him that word that you spoke to him. It encouraged him so much that he hung on. And the government, because it was under a coup, changed over, got him, put him in. He's the president of the nation. And he wants to have dinner with you. Now, I'm not going to take time to tell you the rest, but there's story after story of story. Why? Because I had a word from God. We need people today that heard God, not a good idea. Just like business. I've been very successful. I was sleeping on cardboard boxes before I got saved. And today the Lord's blessed me. Real blessing. And I just want you to know that God's good, but it comes because we hear God. And listen to these 2 stories and I'll close. Whoops, it's 12. You stop at 12. Can I finish these 2 stories? Okay. Go on. Brother. You know, you ever seen a red flag to a bull? We had a funny bull story here. You remember that bull story? I can't tell that story, but we got some funny stories. Hanging out with him. See, y'all hear me tell. Privately, y'all come to me out. I see some here know these stories too. They know they're true. I tell the real story. All right, let's get to it. The Lord showed me a couple of areas that we have to address. Let me get to it. Yeah, right here. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6 through 11 and 16 through 17. Now, you can look it up. You can read it. You can do anything you want. I'm going to tell it a little bit. And if you just kind of try to follow me for a minute with this, I'll do my best to tell you this. This to me, this one and the one other story about this, and I'll stop. Now, Jeremiah is called to speak to Israel, no doubt. And he says, I'll get to 1 Kings, just hold that. I cannot prophesy to them, meaning the people of Israel. What prophet went out to them whom they did not seek to kill? Leonard Ravenhill years ago said, the prophet is violated during his ministry, but he is vindicated by history. He is a villain today and a hero of tomorrow. He is excommunicated while alive and exalted when dead. He is friendless while living and famous when dead. We need to come back to put honor back on the gift of God, the prophetic gift of God, and watch God move the church into the next things. 2001 ain't going to be like any other 2001. If you think 2020 has been a ride, I have three words that God gave me in March that this thing happened. Three words. It's what He said to me in the beginning. This is a first contraction as a woman in birth. And that was when the coronavirus really erupted. And He said, this, the virus, is the first contraction. And there's two more coming. And then when we saw the upheaval of the election and all that, before it happened, God spoke to me the second. Charisma Magazine put it in Charisma Magazine. And I spoke it before it happened. And when this thing went into where it is now with the courts and all, that's the second contraction. And how do you know when a woman goes through contraction, the contractions usually get more strong, if that's the right word, they get stronger, and then they go faster. But always remember, the contraction leads to a birthing. We're about to birth something that we've only imagined possible. And the third one is this one. The second one is this political upheaval. And that's where we're at. And it's gotten stronger. And it's going to get more intense. And then in 2021, just the other day, the Lord spoke to me and told me what the third one was. And I've told my elders that. But I'm not telling you or I'm not telling anybody else. Because I don't want to tilt things towards people believing something, going after something. I want to make sure that we're hearing correctly. Are you listening? And I believe we're going to the third contraction. And when we do, it's not going to be an easy one. It's going to be tough. If we thought these were tough, it's going to get tougher. But let me tell you something. Being down at the Red Sea was the day they thought everything was tough in Egypt. But when they got to the Red Sea, they left home and got no home to go to. How do you know when you're in the land of almost, that's a difficult place. Amen. Can you hear me? When you can't get that thing locked down. And so Jeremiah, now this is the story that I read to you out of Kings, or said to you to look at. This is what drove Jezebel to go after Elijah the prophet. Remember, just as he said, she died a horrible death. Jehu came, by the way. Jehu, I wrote a book, it's back there, I only brought a box of them, but I hope you'll try to look at it. It's called The 5G Shift. It's five generations on the earth at all times. There's a story in here about the Rechabites. The Rechabites, a guy named Jeroboam, is walking in a desert and he runs into this warrior named Jehu. Jehu is a bad dude. He's got supersonic missiles hooked to his chariot. He's a bad warrior. He's the one that his horses trampled on Jezebel and the dogs ate her. Yeah. I mean, this is a bad guy. And he picks up Jeroboam, and he says to him, before he gets him in the chariot, he's just out in the desert. He stops, he says, are you for me or against me? Jeroboam said, I'm for you. He said, come on, get on, I'll teach you how to be a warrior. And he taught a whole generation of young boys who came under a Nazareth covenant, he taught a generation of children how to stand and not compromise. We need to know, saints, we're taking our children into a new zone they have never been before. They're faced with situations. They're faced with their best friends. Don't know which sex they belong to. We're facing all kinds of things. And we need to teach our kids to get up in Jehu's chariot and learn how to be warriors. Read the book. I'm back to my story and I am going to finish. I know I get on rabbit trails. You shouldn't have said go on. Now, it's this guy right here. It's his fault. Now, you can kill the prophet I said a minute ago, but you cannot kill the word. Now, Isaiah said this in chapter 40. It says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Right now, we're at a time. We're at a time where His word never returns void, and we need to hear God for America. Not what the news says, not what a politician says. What has God said? But we've been attacking the prophets, and we shouldn't do that. We've diminished them. We've laughed them. We've said, oh well. And they're always abuses. Hello? There's always abuses to all good things. But just because there's an abuse, we cannot deny the reality of every time Israel came through life, it had a word from the Lord. My church, I had a word come to build the first building, the second building. My church grew from 15 people to 500 in 6 months. And we jumped, and our school tripled, and we just kept growing and growing and growing, watching God every time bring a word. And I said this morning, this is one of the most important, awesome times for Resurrection Church. This is really the time for you guys to come to a point. You've heard God. You've done all the things God's told you to do. Care for the needy, the poor, everybody. Reach out. Do all the things. Build a good church, a body growing. Now God wants you to come back. If they built the wall in Nehemiah's day in 52 days, it's time for you to come back to a fresh place of prayer.
Amen.
And I know Pastor Allen has something to say about that afterwards. He probably will say it. He said it in the first service. But it's time for this church to come back and say, we need to hear a word from God again. Because where you're going to go is not because you're hearing a word from God because you did something wrong. That's not the reason. You're hearing from God so you can continue to do what's right.
That's right.
Because you can keep going doing what you've done, thinking you're right, and you're just repeating what you've done, not hearing something new.
Right.
If mercy is renewed every day, the word should be. Now, here's the whole thing. This is the whole thing. If you look at this story, Isaiah 30 says, who says to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things? Speak to us smooth things and prophesy deceit, it says. The Bible is full of stories where the prophets were told to do these different things and to have these prophecies that were polluted. Well, here you go. In Kings, Jezebel kills and intimidates the true prophets, seduced and supported the false prophets all the way. And here's the story. They go and they gather a guy named Jeroboam. How do you know who Jeroboam was? He's a son of Solomon. Solomon says in Proverbs, I want to see how my children are going to rule. So what he does, Jeroboam comes up. And Jeroboam says, I'll divide Israel. We'll take the 12 tribes and we'll put 10 over here. And we'll put the two, Judah and Jerusalem, put them over here. And we'll take the other 10 over here. Well, one tribe named Dan, the Danites, was part of the 10. You know the story. I'm reading it to you. Dan does this. The Danites go and get a calf. Don't miss this. They go and build a golden calf a second time. It's the same calf like they built when they came out of Egypt. They had never done this before, but now this is the second one. And they build a golden calf, and the guy puts they put it in a house, and they put a priest over it. And so the Danites come and say, well, Jeroboam comes and says, can't we get rid of this? Can't we bring this over to the tribe of Dan? Not have it belong to one man out in the country? Let's bring the calf and bring it in the temple. Let's get the idol worship along with the worship of Yahweh. And they brought the mixture over and put it in here. And here's what it says. You got to read it. It says when the young man they went to who was the priest of that idol, when he came over, they said, now do not prophesy anything about Yahweh and anything that would be good for Yahweh. And he said, put your hand over your mouth and don't speak. That priest, that pastor, that prophet was told, cover his mouth. And look, we've been covered our mouths with masks. Hello. And we've been told, that's the first thing God showed me. That mask was designed by a demonic spirit to cause the church to have no voice.
That's right.
And so here, it didn't even have to be a mask. The man took his own hand, put it over his mouth, and said, I will not speak the word of the Lord. Read Jeremiah over and over. Read throughout Scripture. You'll find, and here's the last, I'll end it. You'll find over and over stories. If you read Amos 2, 11 and 12. Amos 2, 11 and 12. If you read those Scriptures and you put it up there. I know you have your Bibles. I hope you use them a little bit. Amen. If you don't, shame on you. Because if they come and take it, you'll wish you had it. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 11. And raised up some of your sons for prophets, and some of your young men for dedication ones, Nazarites. This is what I was talking about, Rechabites. Is this not true, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the dedicated ones, the Nazarites, wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. In other words, these young men were raised up to be godly people, and they took them and said, we want to tell you, you've raised up prophets, but tell them not to prophesy. Not to prophesy anything that's bad. Nothing bad, just good. And I want to tell you something. God's not interested in just prophesying something good. Sometimes He has to tell us that we need to repent. Sometimes He has to tell us that we need to change. Can you say amen to that? How do you feel like right now? You know that God gave you a word. God spoke to you. He gave you a word, put a word inside of you. And you know you have a word from the Lord. You know, how many, put your hand up here today. If you've ever heard a word, you know God spoke to you. You know God spoke a clear word to you. Everybody in the room, just about, a lot of people. Now let me tell you something. We're at another junction in the road where we've been and with the word we've had, that day's come to an end because the church has shifted. We have shifted. We're not living in a normal day. It's a change. God took the clock of eternity and He turned it forward, lest the very elect be deceived. He turned, you have Chronos time, the watch, and then you have Chronos time. He's turned it. He's turned the clock. He's turned it. When He's turned that clock, what's happened is He's turned it in a way so time has sped up eternal time. We're in a different day, and we need to hear God.
That's right.
And Jeremiah and 5, and that's where I'll close, Jeremiah 5, and listen to me, saints. I know this word. I know this word. Jeremiah 5. Appalling and horrible thing, bring desolation and destruction, has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests exercise rule at their own hands, and by means of the prophets. And my people love to have it so. But what will they do when the end comes? What will we do when we get down to the real final decisions of what's going on in America? Are we going to have people that can say, I heard the Lord. I heard from God. Thus saith the Lord. We need today to come back to a clear prophetic word. I see this going on in nations. I have an opportunity. I speak to groups on Zooming and all that kind of stuff. All over the world. I had a lady from Australia call me the other day. Some things I said in a conference she was on. God is trying to get us in a new place to hear from Him. Will you stand for a minute? I want to pray with you. Go back to the Red Sea. Go back to the time you heard God. I believe that God wants to open the Red Sea. Amen. I believe He wants to open the Red Sea. And the prophet Haggai and the prophet Habakkuk have both given us clear picture that the Red Sea is going to open and God's going to take us into a new place. How many of you ready to go to a new place? How many of you want to change your day? How many of you want to change the way things are going? How many of you say, Lord, how many of you just tired of church the way it's just been? I mean, church is good, but you understand, we're just kind of going along and there needs to be something that pushes back against what's being put out there. How many of you here? There's demonic voices that'll whisper lies and their confusions and they'll speak. This I could prophesy to somebody standing here right now. There's a lying spirit on you. There's a lying spirit on you and it causes you to criticize and put your mouth against what God is doing. And I urge you to hear me today. Don't put your mouth against what God's doing. Let God begin to speak afresh. We need to hear God today. Amen. We need to come back to repentance. And I encourage you with everything that's in me. You got that hand up again? Let me see your hand. I'm going to pray for you. You wanted that prayer. You wanted that prayer to cause you today to come back to that word. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we see it in the news. We see the news confused. We see the politician confused. God, we see the medical industry confused. And Lord, we stand as your people. And we testify. We hear God. We hear God. Lord, bring us back to a clear place. If we need to fast and pray, then Lord, lead that to happen. If we need to repent, then we need to repent. If we need to say, God, remove those things from my life so that I can hear a fresh word. Some of you have gone through rough times in the last 8 months. That's not a hard thing to say. That doesn't take prophetic insight. Some of you have gone through some extreme hard times. And I'm going to encourage you today by saying this to you. The Lord says to me to tell you that there's an opening coming. There's an opening coming for you. And God's going to allow some things to open up. And you're going to begin to see a clear thing that God wants to do with you in that circumstance. But you're going to begin to hear God. Father, I pray all over this room, young men and young women that have heard you, God. They've heard you and they've sung a song because you gave them a song. They've started a business because you told them to start it. They've done things in the past, God, because you spoke. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now that the heavens will no longer be brass. But God, you'll create a portal right here in Picayune. A portal of heaven that'll be open like in Jacob's day. There'll be an angel ladder. Drops down and revelation will begin to come and your people will hear from heaven again and be still and know that I'm God, the Lord says. And I will cause you to hear me. And when you hear me, you will do great things and you will do mighty things because you will have heard me again. And this region will shift because you say, I've heard the Lord. And because the Lord is speaking to us, people will come from every direction because they know you're hearing from God. Now, Lord, there's some here today, their hearts are broken, their life is broken. And if you're here and you're not right with God or your heart's upside down, you're just broken. There's probably people that'll pray for you, but I'm going to pray for you right now. So everybody put your hand down and everybody's head just stay closed down and eyes closed. If you're here right now, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to really get my life back with God again. I'm not going to play any games. I'm going to get it right. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come here or do anything like that. I just want to pray with you. I just want to agree with you. You're there. Put your hand up right where you're standing. And I'll pray with you. Yes, Father, in Jesus' name. I see. Sir, you can come down. That's fine. Come on. Right here. Father, in Jesus' name. Put your hand up. I'm going to pray with you. This fellow wants to come down. That's okay. Keep your eyes closed. Father, in Jesus' name, you see the hands all over, Lord. And God, I agree with them right now. There's a shift coming. There's a change coming, Lord. There's a renewal coming. God, your word is, just a week or so ago, you guys baptized over 40 people. I believe that can become a regular occurrence, that people are going to want to get baptized. More and more are going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch their lives right now. Come in and change them. You see the hand, a rededication, a recommitment, Lord. Those of you with your hands up, I want you to know, make your vow to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I will commit myself to you, God. I will commit myself to you. I will commit myself to pray and to fast and really see my life changed. And Lord, I thank you. You spoke to me today. You'll speak to me in the days ahead. Father, in Jesus' name, heal this young man, Lord. Lord, heal him right now. I pray for peace, God. Let peace come right now. Father, I declare peace to the storm in his life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, sir.